Really grateful now for him taking some time, joining us on the Stanley Fincen Gates Hotline. That is the head men's basketball coach at ETSU, the Buccaneers. Our boy, your favorite, Steve Forbes. What's up, Coach Forbes? How are you, man?
Well, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, I was feeling sorry for myself this morning when I was thinking about not playing in the NCAA tournament. But you realize how I've had bad luck for a long time because 15 years ago I coached at an institution where our age actually played football and not basketball. You know, and so, I mean, I've had some crappy luck, you know, with not being able to play in the tournament this year. And then, I mean, the only age I've ever been around was a dang football player, so.
Hey, you know, no, that's not true, luck. Coach. That's not true. I was a Streeton Smith All-American preseason honorable mention guard out of Oregon.
Didn't help you one bit, did it, Coach? Okay. Not one bit.
Am I gonna have to bring Savage on the show here? I mean, come on.
You can bring Savage on anytime you want. I'd cross that fool up and dunk all over him still if I could get net.
Well, what I understand is you used to work on your pinpoint accuracy by throwing water balloons at softball players and gifts. That's kind of what I heard.
That did indeed happen. That's probably why, Monica Abbott probably just, she was like, man, I need to, you know, get that wrist action like Ainge has. Yeah, we did used to throw water balloons at softball players. That did happen.
Just checking.
Coach, I like having somebody else on here that knows the good old days with one Eric Ainge. We had Rick Barnes on a little earlier today, and so I'm going to ask you the same question I asked him. It was a different situation because they were standing, getting ready to play an SEC tournament game when this thing kind of went sideways. You had already won the Southern Conference Tournament Championship after winning the regular season.
Congratulations, by the way.
Absolutely. And you were ready for another round in the NCAA tournament. What was it like finding out that your season was over and particularly with how special of a season that had been?
Well, it was difficult. You know, we had five outstanding seniors, and I had a whole team of players that had not played at the NCAA tournament yet. And so, you know, that part was really hard. But, you know, it spiraled really fast. And it really kind of started when me thinking about it was after the championship game on Monday night. I was riding the bus home, and Freddie Coleman had me on ESPN, and the very first question he asked me was about the coronavirus, and I was like, what are you talking about? I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, I knew about it, but I hadn't thought about maybe, you know, canceling games or anything like that. So, you know, when we won the tournament a week before Selection Sunday, so I gave the guys 2 days off just to really enjoy the win, you know, and walk around town and get, you know, be happy and have a good time. And so Wednesday night, I'm sitting here watching the NBA. My friend Nick Nurse is head coach of the Raptors, and they canceled the NBA season, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, we're in trouble. And so Thursday I was supposed to have my first practice. I didn't have it. I met with the team. I talked to them about three options. It could either be the following week, which I doubted it would. It'd be postponed for a later month or, you know, however long, or get canceled. And I had a doctor in there, and I brought a doctor in there to talk to him about what coronavirus was, what their risk factors were, and all those things. And then we left. By the time I got in the car to go home, they canceled the NCAA tournament. And so I had to have another meeting Friday morning with the president and our athletic director, Scott Carter, with the team. And it was emotional. I mean, it was hard for those guys to swallow. And Eric, you can relate to this. I mean, when you put that much time and effort into something, you know, like the NCAA. And it's the pinnacle for these guys because they're not going to play in the NBA. I mean, they're going to play overseas if there's a market there next year, which I don't know. That's questionable right now. This is it, you know, for them. You know, this is the big stage. And to have it just yanked out from under them, you know, it is very tough and an emotional meeting.
Talking with ETSU head men's basketball coach Steve Forbes right now. Coach, we both know your athletic director, Mr. Scott Carter. Both of you have spent a lot of time here in Knoxville, and he's a great guy. And so I want to bring that up before I ask this question because I don't want it to sound loaded, even though it completely is. We spent more time talking about you this basketball season and off season, going, is this the year that Steve Forbes leaves the Tri-Cities to go and take a Power 5 job? I think you're one of the better basketball coaches in basketball. And you stayed ETSU, and I love ETSU, and I wanted, and I'm not trying to say anything negative about them, but I could see you coaching at North Carolina someday. Why ETSU? Why this long? What is going on with you and your career?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great question. I mean, first of all, I got my first Division I head job when I was 50. You know, I'm not 35. I'm not 40. I'm not in a big, you know, I think when you're younger, you're in a big hurry, you know, and you don't really appreciate the things that you need to appreciate. Number one, you just said it, I have a tremendous athletic director who I worked with at Tennessee. I have the best basketball president in the country in Brian Nolan. And so you can't put a price tag on those things.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, I worked with Greg Marshall before I came here at Wichita State, and Greg stayed at Winthrop probably 7-8 years before he went to Wichita. He's been in Wichita 10, 13 years. And one of the things that he drilled into me is you just don't mess with happy. And we're very happy. I mean, you know, winning is winning, guys. I mean, I don't care where you're at. It's fun to win. And
100%.
We've built a program here. You know, my daughter's getting her PhD here. My son just finished his master's here. My youngest is at Science Hill. I mean, there's a lot of positives. The people here love basketball, and honestly, you know, I've been well compensated, and so it's not like I have to just take another job just because, you know, or because it's the money. I don't have to do that, and I won't do that. Now, that doesn't mean I won't someday, if somebody came to me and it was a good fit, and I felt like it was the right move, that doesn't mean that wouldn't happen, but
for sure.
There's been opportunities. I mean, there's been several, you know, since I got here that I just didn't feel that was the right fit for me and my family. And so, you know, and it comes up in recruiting all the time. Came up last night on the phone, you know, to a young man, a father, you know, and I just say, listen, don't you want to be a part of a good program? And I, you know, and the other thing is I tell them, if coaches are using that against me, ask them what they would do if they got offered a job. You know, I mean, that always kind of blows my mind in recruiting, but, you know, it's just part of it. And at least we're in the conversation.
Well, and I love to hear your response on that. Again, we're talking with Steve Forbes, head men's basketball coach at ETSU, because you hear that all the time, and it's like, well, he doesn't need validation. That's not the reason that anyone would ever leave. And hearing you say, don't mess with happy, and bringing up Greg Marshall and your president and your athletic director. I mean, I just think that's really, really cool, because college basketball and football have changed. You don't have to have one of 15 jobs to be a well-compensated, happy guy developing young men, coaching a sport that you love and you've dedicated your life to learning and understanding. And it's fun watching you do what you're doing at ETSU, I guess, is the best way for me to say that.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I think that the other thing, you know, you have to realize too is, like, for us, you know, right now we're in a one bid league. You know, I'm not taking another job in another one bid league. Why would I do that? That'd be stupid. You know, there's other things that come into play, you know, like how do they travel? You know, like, I'm at the age, I don't want to, I mean, we get a bus to every one of our games, a bus home. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't want to go somewhere you got to commercially fly, you know, to all your games. That takes off years on your life. I've done that before. So there's a lot of factors that, you know, I think a lot of people don't even think about or realize when you're looking at something like that, is that's an automatic no right away, you know. And so I'm just fortunate. It's a good – John City's a great place to live. You know, we've done a lot with our facility here at Freedom Hall. Made it, you know, we lead the league in attendance the last 4 years. It's a great place to watch a game. And so really, truthfully, you know, every spring has been a lot more fun for me because I've just been able to concentrate on recruiting and move on to the next year.
Coach, you mentioned being in a one-bid league. What is the challenge with that? Because, I mean, I look at you're in a group of six teams in the country that's won 24 games each of the last five seasons, but you mentioned your senior class was going to their first NCAA tournament. What is that setup and that pressure like over the last part of the season?
It's the hardest pressure I've ever dealt with. I mean, when I was at Tennessee or A&M, Texas A&M or Wichita State, we never had to win a game in the tournament, conference tournament, to make the tournament. We were already in it. But there's tremendous pressure those 3 days in Asheville to win. And we've been in the championship 4 out of the 5 years we've been here. But there's a lot of pressure. And there was a lot of pressure this year, guys, because probably the last 10 games, you know, we're in the conversation for an at-large bid. But the difference is, if you're in the conversation, I'll just use Tennessee as an example. If you're in the conversation in, for an at-large bid in the SEC, then you can lose. You might lose one game, 2 games a week, in a week, or, you know, and then win 4 in a row. We can't lose one game, not one, you know. And here's the problem. We could have ended up, if we lost the championship game, we'd have been 29-5. I don't know if we got in the tournament. And that's ridiculous. And the problem is scheduling. I can't get games, you know, especially home games. You know, nobody wants to come here. And so it's hard to put together, you know, people say, well, you know, you got to put together a, you know, an at-large bid schedule. Well, come do it. I'd enjoy it for you. I would gladly let you guys, anybody, do that for me. You know, and I'll use Brooks as an example, Eric. I mean, he spends more time scheduling this here than any place I've ever been. You know, it's just really, really hard to get games. And so we continue to work at it. And what I think has helped us is, as we continue to raise the profile of our program, what has to happen is the coaches have to get it out of their mind that if they do lose to us, it's not a bad loss. I mean, we've been in the top 100 every year we've been here. So you're going to play worse teams than us in your league, let alone non-conference. So if we happen to, you know, we beat Georgia Tech, we beat Mississippi State, we beat LSU this year, beat them bad, by the way. you know.
The basketball world appreciated it too.
Yeah. It's not a bad loss, you know, but it's just the mentality that, you know, Gonzaga, Wichita State, and I'm not saying we're even close to being that, but that was the first one of the first hurdles they had, because I know Mark Few real well, and I obviously coached with Greg. One of the biggest first hurdles they had to get through was, it's okay to lose to Gonzaga. It's okay to lose to Wichita State if it happens, if that makes sense.
It does. Coach, last thing for you. We'll get you out of here. We really appreciate your time this morning. Your campus is right across the street from a Tri-Cities institution in Pals. How do you and your staff not weigh 500 pounds? Because when I was up there for softball a couple weeks ago before this whole thing stopped, our hotel was right next door to Pals, and the entire staff, non-coaching staff, walked 2 doors down to go to the drive-thru window every night. How is that not – how do you guys deal with that?
How do you know – I mean, how do you know I don't weigh 500 pounds? You don't see me in public. I actually bought a new elliptical. I went down to Push and Pedal there in Johnson City last week. Got me a new elliptical. I'm on the new coronavirus diet, so I'm trying to
nice.
You know, it's funny, you brought up something interesting. My youngest son Jonathan works at Pals.
Yeah.
We have a rule around here, you know, he didn't want to play any sports. I said, well, get a job, man. So he actually works that drive up at Pals over here by Food City. I'm not a big fast food, you know, I eat enough of that on the road. So I don't usually go over there, but I know my wife and my son, all my kids go to Pals all the time. And I've tried to explain to people what Pals is, you know, around the country. And Eric, you can relate to this. I kind of say it's kind of like a junior In-N-Out burger. You know, it's the first place I kind of ever went that, you know, you order.
I can go with that.
You know, it's kind of like that, but it's really obviously, you know, really good food. And I did pull my son. My son's a junior in high school. Or what is he? Oh, he's a sophomore, my guy. I didn't know what grade my son's in. We pulled him out of work a couple weeks ago just because of the situation. And I figured there was other people that needed the money, you know, needed the hours. And so he hasn't been back to Pals in a couple, 3 weeks.
Talking with ETSU men's head basketball coach Steve Forbes. So, Forbes, let's go back here to the trash talk between me and Savage. If I'm throwing water balloons at the Lady Vol softball players and he's the one filling them up for me, beyond an accomplice, maybe even an antagonist in the whole deal.
Well, he's a behind the scenes guy. That's his deal. You know, he don't want to step out in the forefront. You know, it's kind of like being an assistant. You know, you got all the answers, but you're sitting over there on the bench, you know, on the other chair. And so, you know, until you slide over there and have to stand up. It's like when my first year we were playing at Villanova, it just happened to be the year they won the national championship. And it wasn't Brooks, but one of my assistants looked at me and he says, "Coach, you know they're on a 27-0 run." I go, "I know. I can read the scoreboard. I'm trying to let the clock run out. Okay? I'm the one standing up here. You're sitting down." All right? So I totally get it. But I will tell you this. I came from Texas A&M to Tennessee. I was in the Francione era at A&M, which wasn't very good for football. My very first football game in Neyland was against Cal your junior year.
Electric.
And electric. I'll tell you this. I grew up in Iowa. I went to all the Iowa football games. Hayden Fry, you know, coached at A&M. The hair on my arms stood up when you guys came out of that tee for the very first time that I'd ever seen. I'd watched plenty of football. I love college football. You know, I always wanted to be in Neyland, but just to see that was amazing. And then you and I then dialed up four touchdown passes, and it was game on. But
it's not a big deal, coach. You know, a lot of guys to thank. Yeah. Of course, most notably myself. So,
well, maybe good thing Eric's doing his show from his garage. His head would never get out of the
studio.
Can we
make them a little bit of a bone? I mean. it was a heck of a time, and you know. So anyway, I appreciate you guys throwing me. I know I had to follow up Coach Barnes. You know, he's probably a little bit funnier than I am. Rick and I are good friends, and we talk on the phone a lot. But it's nice to have a good relationship with him too.
Well, I didn't get a chance to ask him. We ended up talking about his attempt at making homemade corn dogs. But it was on my list of notes to let him know we were talking to you today too, because I know that to be true. And I think that's awesome. You know, the good ones in the game, the good ones in the sport, doing it the right way, coaching and leading and developing the right way, usually find a way to have good relationships with each other. So that's always good to hear.
Yeah, he's a good man, good mentor for me. You know, obviously I got to know him first off as rivals, you know, when I was at A&M, he was with the Longhorns. And that was at that point a very intense rivalry. And, you know, and then I played against them here, you know, Tennessee when we beat Durant in overtime in Thompson Bowling, which maybe one of the loudest times I've ever heard Thompson Bowling in overtime against them, against Texas. And then just, you know, when I came here, you know, we played each other a couple times and really got to know each other. I go down there and watch practice as much as I can sometimes just to watch somebody do, you know, do things different. But he's a really good person and an outstanding coach.
Coach Forbes, we really appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with that off-season workout program, and we look forward to talking to you again down the line as we try to get back to some normalcy in college basketball and the world of sports.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. And usually my off-season workout is just sit in the steam room, so that's how I sweat.
Hey, when you get a chance when we're done, text me Savage's number so I can wear him out.
that'll be the very first thing that I do. I promise.
Yeah, I'll include you on it so we can tag team him together and make sure knock him down a peg or two.
It won't be hard.
See you, Coach.
All right, boys. Thanks.
That is.